everyone. I'm back again. This is Monday, April the 22nd, and I woke up this morning after having my coffee, and I sat down and opened up the Bible after I asked Jesus what he would like to say to me or show me this morning. And before I opened the Bible, I listened and I wrote down everything that I felt like the Lord was saying to me. And so I've got it here on my computer, emailed to myself so I can read it off word for word. And then I opened the Bible and asked him to show me whatever it was he wanted me to see in the Bible, and I just opened to whatever. I didn't know what I was going to be opening the Bible to. And so I have that to share with you today. So I have a word and I have scripture. And I thought I was going to go to the gym this morning, but God had other plans. This is the week of Passover, and it technically begins at sundown today. Being the first day of Passover begins at sundown, but I really feel the Lord calling me to stay home this week and not go to the gym. So I thought I was getting up and getting ready for that, but he had other plans, and I'm excited about it. So I'm here making this video to you instead of being at the gym, and just being led by the Holy Spirit and his guidance of what I am to do and what he's saying and what to share with you all. And that's way better than anything I could come up with for my day. So praise God. Let's see here. I'm going to read you what I heard from the Lord this morning first. I heard the words, holy calling. I am preaching a holy convocation. It is time to call the saints up higher to walk in holiness during these last days. I am preparing a bride without blemish. All who follow me, this is Jesus, all who follow me, who listen to me and are doers, not hearers only of the word, will have everlasting life down the narrow path that leads to the narrow gate, and they shall enter in through it to life, eternal life with me and my Father forever and ever. Praise God. So that's what I heard. And then when I opened the word, he gave me a lot of scripture to go along with this. But when I opened it, it was Matthew 25, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And also the Holy Spirit is highlighting to me right above it, the faithful servant and the evil servant. And no one knows the day or hour. And this is talking about the coming of the Son of Man. So this was a really right now word for all of us from the Lord. And so I'll be sharing this with you. And a few other scriptures that he gave me. I'm going to go ahead and share the other scriptures first that go along with what he said. Let's see here. Luke 13, beginning with verse 22, it's talking about the narrow way. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and a gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. So sad, but Jesus is telling us it's a narrow way. And back to the word he gave me this morning, all who follow me, who listen to me and are doers, not hearers only of the word, will have everlasting life down the narrow path that leads to the narrow gate. And they shall enter in through it to life, eternal life with me and my Father forever and ever. And he also gave me James chapter 1, 22 through 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So back to what he said this morning, he was saying, let's see here. All who follow me, who listen to me and are doers, not hearers only of the word, will have everlasting life. The word says that, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The word says that we're deceiving ourselves if we hear it, but we don't do it, if it goes in one ear and out the other, if we don't allow it to sink in, you know, meditate on it. And Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 26, this is where he talks about, he says, I'm preparing a bride without blemish. That's what he said to me this morning. And so he gave me this in Ephesians 5:26, and I realized I did a video last night. It's just a little bit further down from where I was being led to share with you last night. So he's bringing us back to this area, and I thought that that was really amazing. I had my son's Bible open last night on the table. We had the same Bible, so now I've got mine, so that's why it'll probably look different in the video if you notice all of my highlighting. But let's see here. So he said, I am preparing a bride without blemish. And he gave me this scripture, Ephesians 5:26. I'll back up to 25 so you can understand all of it. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So see, Jesus, he's preparing us to follow him and walk in this. And he's saying that we should be holy and without blemish. And he mentions cleansing us with the washing of water by the word. When we allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we read this word in obedience, the Holy Spirit moves over us and makes us look more and more like Jesus. As we dive deeper and deeper and feed our spirit, we feed our soul. If we don't read the word, like I was saying yesterday, then we're feeding our flesh. We're getting distracted by the world. And we are, we're consuming and absorbing things from the world, the world's ways, ideas, and things like that. And that's contrary to the word. We need this to grow. So whatever you're feeding is what's going to grow. And so Jesus is, He says, I'm preparing a bride without blemish. So he's calling us. He says, it is time to call the saints up higher to walk in holiness during these last days. I am preparing a bride without blemish. He's calling you and me. He wants us to come up higher, and he wants us to follow him and live holy. And so what else did he share? Okay. I'll go ahead and share this with you. It's Luke chapter 6. It's Luke chapter 6. Because he highlighted this to me. It's chapter 6, starting with verse 46. It's titled Build on the Rock. This is all about listening to Jesus versus not listening to Jesus. And he's about to teach you all, if you haven't heard this, this is so important. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. So this is what it's like when you hear and you do what Jesus says. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock, founded on Jesus. But he who heard and did nothing, when you hear what Jesus says and you don't do anything, you're just a hearer, not a doer. This is what he says about people who don't do what he says. It's not enough to just call him Lord, Lord. He wants you to do what he says. So when you call on him, then you learn from him and you follow him. So he's saying, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. He gives more understanding. Let's see. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Where is that one, Lord? Let's see. Oh, wow. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 23. That just stood out to me. But let me look this up for you. I thought I had everything. Let's see here. Here it is. I don't have everything memorized exactly of where it is. It's Matthew 7, 21. Okay. It's right after the narrow way that we read earlier, entering in through the narrow gate. Okay. Well, that's actually mentioned again. It's mentioned in multiple places. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So that's an additional scripture in Matthew 7, 13 through 14 about the narrow way that Jesus is talking to us about this morning. But it's beginning with, it's 7:21 in Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And we talked last night about how it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's a plea for purity, and the will of God is for us to live holy. And so it goes over all of that. I already shared that in the last video, but Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, practicing sin. So if you choose to practice a lifestyle of sin instead of following Jesus, hearing what he says and doing it, then he's going to tell us that he never knew us if we make a practice of sin instead of a practice of living holy and righteous and following him in his ways, picking up our cross, crucifying our flesh, feeding our soul with the word. Just a tip, the more you read this, the more the Holy Spirit moves and transforms you, and that's what will grow inside of you. You'll lose your old desires to live in sinful ways. If you fixate your mind on this, this is what's going to grow, and your flesh is going to get weaker and weaker. I say weaker and weaker. You're going to be denying your flesh, and so it's not going to have as much of a pull as it did before when you were actively feeding your flesh, because that's the thing about the flesh. It's never satisfied. So it doesn't matter how much you feed it the worldly things, the sinful ways of life. It's always going to want more and more and more and leave you feeling more and more empty the more you try to fill yourself by fulfilling your flesh. It's always going to leave you feeling empty and void, but this is really filling. When you take the time to feed your soul and your spirit, you feel satisfied and you just feel good, and you realize how good it feels, the transformation that's taking place, and you realize the freedom in this and the bondage in feeding your flesh. And you just supernaturally, by the moving and the helping of the Holy Spirit, end up turning away from things, and bit by bit you're changed and you look more and more like Jesus. So it's not something you're doing on your own. It's just you start to walk it out, and the Holy Spirit helps do the work in you. It's amazing. So you're not doing it alone. You never could. We weren't made to do that. And it really does work when you just simply open your word and be obedient. That's how God is able to start really moving in you. So let's see here. Let's see. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Or it's 25. Okay. All right. And just a reminder, the Son of Man will judge the nations. It's in Matthew 25, 31. And it's talking about Jesus separating the sheep from the goats. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. But then he talks to the goats on the left, and he says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So see how important it is to not just be a hearer of Jesus and the things that he tells us to walk in. He wants us to be doers. He wants us to minister to people, to spread the word. He wants to be glorified through us. He wants people to hear our testimony. He wants us to reach out and help people. And we can't just walk through this life for ourselves or even just for our close family. We have to be willing vessels that are surrendered to be a disciple of Jesus. And so make sure that you don't just believe in Jesus, because even the demons believe and tremble, but that you read what Jesus says and you learn from Jesus, not from your church, not from the world. Learn from Jesus. Read this yourself. If you don't read this, you're going to miss something. You'll definitely miss something if you don't open this up for yourself and you just let people tell you what it says. You have to see it all before you die. It's a requirement. Because you're going to miss something. And your salvation and your life and walking things out with Jesus and following him is so important. How can we know to follow him, how to follow him, if we don't read what he left behind for us and really study it and really start applying it? How else? So make sure you read everything and you're not missing anything. Time is precious. The coming of the Son of Man, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He is coming back, and we don't know when. We're in Matthew 24, and that's in verse 30, but it's Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be like that again when Jesus comes back. People are going to be living their lives distracted, and he's just going to come. It's your soul is worth so much more than getting wrapped up in these worldly distractions and just living this physical life that's going to end. It's very, very short. Make sure you're investing in eternity with Jesus. Make sure that you see that. Make it a focus. The world will help you forget very easily with all the distractions, but it's the only thing that matters. So make sure you focus on Jesus first, then everything else that you have that's a blessing, your family and your life, you know, enjoy that. Steward it well, take care of it. Show God you appreciate everything that he's blessed you with, but make sure that you don't put God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit last. We've got to constantly try and remember to keep them at the forefront of our everyday lives. And so, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, you know, a lot of us know this story, but five were prepared for Jesus to come back and five weren't. And it was too late. And they all loved Jesus. The ones that were the five foolish virgins that didn't have enough oil, that had to go and run and buy some really quick, they were waiting on Jesus too. They just weren't prepared. And so it says here in Matthew 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. They went out to meet Jesus. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, Jesus came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And after that it was shut, that was it. It says, afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. See, this was once me. And this is many Christians today who profess to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior that we love, and we've, you know, confessed that he is Jesus and died and rose again on the third day for our sins. But then just live your life the way you want to. Don't follow him. Don't become a true follower. Don't become a disciple. Some of us don't even hear his words, much less do them. You've got to hear them first to even do them. And so he'll tell you he doesn't know you. I don't know why this isn't taught more. I really don't. Most people just stop with salvation and they say, congratulations, you're saved, you're good. And then they just send you right back out into the world. I mean, not that it's any one person's responsibility for your own salvation. It is your responsibility to open this word in your alone time and continue on in it, so that way you can pick up that cross. You can't pick up a cross that you don't know anything about. But still, the shepherds should be warning the sheep, hey, you're not done. Don't fall asleep halfway on this mountain, on God's mountain. Don't get comfortable. Don't go to sleep. Don't think that you've made it, that you've arrived, that's it, and you have to do nothing and you can just live how you want and do what you want. No. Don't go down the mountain and, you know, live in sin and the worldly ways and then come back up halfway and go to sleep and never make it to the top. Don't do that. Jesus is saying you've got to be prepared. And he's giving you warning now. He's given us all warning now. We cannot say that we didn't know. And even some who do are going to face Jesus one day, and when he says, I didn't know you, and they're going to say, how? I didn't know. We all have the same opportunity to read the word. It's not wise to not read this before you die. It is not wise. I don't think I would have made it. How could I have? I didn't know how to follow Jesus. I didn't know what he said. I knew about the miracles he did and how he walked on water and how he multiplied bread. I knew of those good stories about Jesus. I had no idea there was depth like this, instruction that is life or death instruction from Jesus that I had to read for myself and attain. I feel like I wasn't warned. And so I'm sounding the alarm. The Lord does not want you to remain asleep. I was asleep for too long, and it's time for the church to wake, to be fully prepared for when he comes back. And this says the faithful servant and the evil servant. It's Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Okay, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, when Jesus comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. So if an evil person says Jesus is delaying his coming and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant, Jesus, will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We just can't live for ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. Our bodies aren't our own. It's a temple of the living Holy Spirit. It's time to surrender. It's time to give it all to God. We can't be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It's not going to do you any good to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Jesus will tell you he doesn't know you. It's an illusion to be in one with 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You've been lulled to sleep. You've been lulled to sleep with a false peace that you're going to be fine, that Jesus will tell you he knows you if you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It's a false sense of security. That's not the whole package. That's not how this works. You have to listen to Jesus. So please wake up and take Jesus and his word seriously. Listen to him. Don't even listen to me. Don't listen to any man. Don't listen to someone teaching the word. I mean, just listen to the word. Bypass people. Let this just wake you up for you to go open the Bible yourself and go back to these things and read them for yourself. Allow yourself to lay eyes on all of this. That's what will transform you and wake you up. Praise God. Now, I pray that you all have a blessed Passover. This is a very, very special week. I do have things written down about Passover, and I pray that I don't have an interruption that I can finish. But if I do, I'll make another video and post it after. But Matthew 26, we see down here at verse 17, above it, it's titled, Jesus celebrates Passover with his disciples. So Jesus himself celebrated Passover. God created Passover. If you want to read more about Passover, you can find it in Leviticus chapter 23. And of course, Jesus was our sacrifice. He is our final lamb sacrifice. So we're not required today to sacrifice anything when we celebrate Passover. But this is when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper here in Matthew 26:26. You can go and read that. But he was saying, take, eat, this is my body. Because he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And he also gave them a cup and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so, you know, that was wine. You can also drink grape juice if you want. That's what I have. But I plan on taking communion every day this week in remembrance of Jesus, just to do it in remembrance of him. This is a very, very special week because the Bible shows us that as he was celebrating Passover, he was arrested that week, and then he was put on the cross on Friday, and he died for us on the cross for our sins, and he rose again on Sunday. That all took place this week. It's on your calendar. You'll see the word Passover, and Passover begins today, Monday, April 22nd at sundown. And it ends on Tuesday, April 30th at sundown. So that is how it's held. They keep track of Passover every year really well on the calendar. I understand that a lot of Christians, including myself, used to. I don't anymore, but I used to celebrate Easter. And then I read the Bible and I realized that Jesus was celebrating Passover, that this is the time that it happened. And Easter has come and gone, and it's not the same time as Passover. And so I'm sticking to the Bible. So I'm really excited to know how special this week is, and that this is the week that Jesus died for me and you. And so I want to just observe that. And looks like I'm not going to the gym this week. Actually, if you read Leviticus 23, they take the whole week off from work. They don't work. And I thought, wow, how neat. I was talking to my family about it, and I said, I would love to pre-plan a vacation time next year. You know, take the week off. And I was saying how I wish that it was like that here in America, where everything is closed and no one's working, and it's just a known thing that no one's working, so everyone's celebrating instead. And I thought, that is so beautiful. That's so amazing. I would love it if it was that way here. It'd make it easier on us all, but it's not really practiced or hardly known over here in America. And that's sad, because it's in the Bible, and Jesus celebrated, and he gave us the Lord's Supper at that time, and then he died for us on the cross and rose again. And I'm holding on to scripture here. I'm not following the world. If you want to look up Easter, you can. The word Easter, what it means, where it came from, why Easter is different than Passover, and how Jesus's resurrection merged during the time of Easter, how the old church didn't celebrate Easter, but they celebrated Passover. And then when the church was Romanized into the Roman culture, it became merged with pagan culture. And so Christianity and some paganism merged, and so they decided to merge Jesus's resurrection in with the celebration of Easter. And the celebration of Easter was going on even before Jesus was born, so it predates, it goes way, way back, and it's all in alignment with the spring equinox. That's how they time Easter, and so it has to do with the alignment of the sun and the spring equinox, and it has to do with celebrating pagan fertility goddess. I did share a video on that recently around before Easter time, about Passover and Easter and Jesus's resurrection. But I'm mentioning it again now because I am acknowledging Jesus's resurrection here scripturally and the timing of it, and I'm excited. And so I just felt led to touch a little bit about it in case you haven't heard this, in case you haven't read the Bible and you didn't understand what it's saying. Because once you do read the Bible and you see this, what I'm saying is true, then you're going to have questions like I did and say, well, why are we celebrating his resurrection at this time then? Why are they different times? And why are they both saying that they're celebrating his resurrection? Just do a little history search and you'll see. But we really need to follow Passover, because that's what the early church celebrated. That's what Jesus celebrated. He didn't celebrate Easter when he was alive, even though it was being celebrated by the pagans back then. So let's just follow Jesus. It's okay to unlearn some things that we were taught and raised in with the culture. If it doesn't align with scripture, follow Jesus. Don't worry about the other stuff if it's confusing. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into digging up some history, and you can learn about it and help break it down and make sense of it all. It's all there online for you to find. You'll have to look it up because it's not in the Bible. And so The Holy Spirit will help you and show you, answer any questions that you have about it, but the information's all there. And this is the week that Jesus was put on the cross and rose again for us. So it's a big day. It's a big week to celebrate. And I pray that you will all open the Bible and learn more about Passover, because God created Passover. And so even though it may seem foreign to you, it's not weird. Anything that God made, it's good. And so you might be more used to holidays that aren't in the Bible, that came from the world and the world's ways. That might feel normal to you, but that doesn't make it right. And this might feel weird to you, but that doesn't make it wrong or weird, because it came from God. So we test everything with Scripture. And then if we've learned something that doesn't align, well, it's just time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds as we read the truth. And then we can learn new things, and we can learn how to just walk and follow Jesus even closer. So I pray that you all will have a blessed day, and I'll be back as soon as God brings me back on here. I was excited to spend this time with you all instead of going to the gym. It's so much more rewarding to just spend time with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, to hear Him, and then to share with others. There's nothing better out there. There's nothing like it. So I'm extremely blessed and humbled, and I guess I'm going to get off here, and I just pray that you'll remember everything that Jesus said to us today about walking holy in a holy lifestyle. It is possible. Just read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will transform you, and you'll just start walking in it. Things about you will change. Allow this word to be like a mirror, like we were reading. It'll happen bit by bit, and others will see Jesus in you, and they'll start to follow too. Praise God. Have a blessed day, you all. Love you.